Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Kuf Tes. We actually got all the way up to Kuf Tes Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah on the very top of Kuf Tes Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, HaMekabel Sada Mechaveru L'Shana Muato. So if a person is Mekabel a field to work on for a short amount of time, for not so many years, Rashi says, what does not so many years mean? Pachos mizayin shanim, anything less than 7 years. So the halacha is lo yizra en a pishtan. You should not plant pishtan flax in that field. Why not? So Rashi explains shezera pishtan makchish ba'aretz harbe. It really weakens the land when you plant flax in the land. Ve'ena chozeres liyoshna ad zayin shanim, and it takes 7 years for the land to get back to its original state. V'hala mitukma ela b'chakirus. And then Rashi does what he does in each Mishnah, as he promised at the beginning of the parak he was going to do, to explain whether the Mishnah is talking about a situation of Chakirus, or whether the Mishnah is talking about a situation of Arisus, because Rav Papa had made the statement all the way at the beginning of the parak that from that point on, all of the Mishnayos were talking about one but not the other, that the Mishnayos were clearly all talking about either a case of Chakirus or Arisus, but not both Chakirus and Arisus. So Rashi says this Mishnah has to be talking about Chakirus. It has to be talking about where you pay a percentage, not a percentage, you pay a rental payment, a fixed rental payment, for the land to the landowner, and you enjoy whatever profits the land produces. Because if it were about kablanos, then you'd be able to plant whatever you want. You wouldn't have any limitations. Because after all, granted, it's weakening the land, but the benefits from weakening the land, having pishtan, is being shared with the landowner. So he's happy to weaken the land if you're giving him the benefits of weakening the land by planting such wonderful things, such as pishtan. Whereas when it comes to chakirus, you're giving him a fixed rental payment. He doesn't want you weakening his land. You're giving him a fixed rental payment, and he's assuming you're going to plant normal things that aren't going to destroy the land. And whatever the land produces, you're keeping yourself anyway. So it doesn't affect him one way or the other. So he'd much prefer that his land maintain its nutrients and be strong. That's how Rashi understands. We mentioned last time that Rashi had a similar comment when it came to planting wheat where you're supposed to plant barley and vice versa, that the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban also says our Mishnah is talking about Chakirus and not Kablanos, but not because when it comes to Kablanos, you could for sure do whatever you want and plant whatever you want. The Ramban says, no, just the opposite. When it comes to Kablanos, it's obvious that you're not allowed to plant anything other than the agreed upon item that you were supposed to plant. Why? Because when it comes to Kablanos, how does the landowner get paid? He gets paid by a percentage of the crop that grows. So if he made a deal with you that you're supposed to plant wheat, he was relying on having a wheat supply for that year. And he probably made contracts with other people to get his barley or to get whatever other foods he needed from other places. But wheat, he's relying on that. So you're going to go and change it up and plant pishtun? Pishtun may be wonderful and may be very expensive, but that's not what he wanted out of it. And he was assuming he was going to get wheat. So that's how the Ramban understood that when it comes to the reason the Mishnah is not talking about Kablanos is that it's extremely obvious that when it comes to Kablanos that you can't change a kiyuzeh, that you're not allowed to change what you're going to plant in the field at all. The exact opposite of Rashi. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Ve'in lo b'koros shikma. And also, the person, the choker, doesn't get to share in the beams of the sycamore tree that the wood that the tree produces. What are koros shikma? So says Rashi, eitz sraku. It happens to be a tree that does not produce any fruit. The kotzitz in enough of lekuros abinyan vein chazun gedelin, and they use it for lumber. So it grows wood. They chop down branches of the tree to use for lumber, and it continues to grow and replenish itself. And these are essentially wood trees. So why, if you have the field for less than 7 years, do you not get to take those beams? So says Rashi, pachos mizayin shanim ein nasos koros hilchach kibla lepachos mizayin shanim lo yakutz koros shaba the lava daita the koros naches the b'shanim muatos sinim chazum lekoros. It takes 7 years for those branches to replenish themselves. So if you're only going to have this land for less than 7 years, then it's likely understood that you're not going into the field with the understanding that you're supposed to take these beams, because they're not, the guy's not going to get his field back the way he gave it to you if you take these beams. But if you're makabel for Zayin Shanim, if you're makabel the field for 7 years or more, so then you could take the beams, because by the time you give it back to him, those beams will have replenished themselves. When can you take those beams? Only during the first year, Rashi says. Because if you're taking them during the second or third year, still, it will not have replenished itself by the end of the 7 years. Fine, that's the halacha in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Abai, Bekorah Shikma Ein Lo, B'Shevach Shikma Yesh Lo. Granted, he doesn't get he doesn't get to cut down the beams of the tree, but he does get the increase in value. I mean, if it went up in value, then we evaluate how much those trees went up in value, and he gets to keep it. V'Rava Amar Afilu B'Shevach Shikma Nami Ein Lo. And Rava says, oh, even when it comes to the Shevach Shikma, also he does not get to keep it. Just before we get into this machlokas by Rava, just one more ha'ara from the Mishnah. We mentioned this machlokas from Ban and Rashi about why our Mishnah is not talking about Kablanos. It bears mentioning that the Rambam, when he quotes the halacha of the Mishnah, quotes it Bein Ba'arisos, Bein Be'Kablanos. He quotes it to apply to both Chakirus and Kablanus. So the Magen Mishnah says, wait a second, that's against Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that only the first few Mishnayis in the Perek speak about both Chakirus and Kablanus, Chakirus and Arisus, and all the other Mishnayis talk about one or the other. So how could the Rambam say this talks about both? So the Magen Mishnah says, based on the Rashba, who explains within the Sheet of Rav Papa, that none of the Mishnayis need to teach us about both Chakirus and Kablanus. But the MS, many of the Mishnayis may say a din that applies to both, it's just that it's not necessary to teach us by both. So it could be that that's what our Mishnah also is saying, that when it comes to Kablanus, our Mishnah is talking about Chakirus. Why is it only talking about Chakirus? Not because the din is any different by Kablanus, but because in the Rambam's estimation, when it comes to the Kablanus, there's no need to tell us that Lo Yizra and Apishtan, because it's Davar Pashut that Lo Yizra and Apishtan. Similar to the Ramban, that it would be Davar Pashut that Lo Yizra and Apishtan. The only difference is the Ramban held that it's a Davar Pashut that Lo Yizra and Apishtan, no matter how many years you got the field for. It could be that the Rambam would say that this halacha, bedafka, for those 7 years where you're going to weaken the land, that it would be a davar pashut that it would apply to Kablanus as well. Okay, says the Gemara. So we had this machlokas right now between Abaye and Rava, whether the shevach shikma, whether the increase in value of the tree is something that the choker is entitled to. Where Abaye had said he is entitled to it, Rava had said he's not entitled to it. So says the Gemara, Meisvei, Hamakabel Sada Mechaver, we're going to try to bring a raya. Hamakabel Sada Mechaver, Rav Yigiyah, if a person is mekabel a field from his friend to work on, and then it comes time to leave that field, shaman lo, we do an evaluation. What do you mean an evaluation? Evaluation of what? So my lav, shaman lo b'shevach shikma, doesn't doing an evaluation mean that we evaluate how much the shikma trees have gone up in value and we pay him for it? So lo, and therefore it would be a rayata abaye against Rava. So says Gemara, lo, shamalo yarkav asilka. We evaluate the vegetables, the beets that are in the field, and because after all, he planted those, he allowed those to grow. So we evaluate what they're worth, and we give them to the choker on his way out. Frankly, Gemara, yarkav asilka, nakav nishkal. What do you mean yarkav asilka? Just uproot them and give them to him. They're his. Why should we assume that you have to do an evaluation, see how much they're worth, and then pay him that money? What do you mean? You pick them from the ground and give them to him. And it says Gemara, "B'dva mata yom deshuka." It's not yet time to bring them to the market to sell. So since they're not easily sold today, we'd rather just pay him on the spot for them. So a lot of the Rishonim ask the question, why does the Gemara give this answer? The Gemara could have just given a much more simple answer. Why don't they pick the vegetables and the beets out of the ground? Maybe they're not ready yet. Maybe they're just not ripened yet. But they still have value, because they're certainly on their way to be ripened. So maybe they're not ready to be picked off the ground yet. So the Tosfos Rid writes that according to Rava, that you don't take the Shevach Shikma, you also don't take peros that are lo nigmar bishulan, that are not yet fully ripened. because the peiros that are not yet fully ripened have the same status as the Shevach Shikma. It's an increase in value that relates to what's on the land, but it's not anything of mamashus that you can take right now. So that's mamash, the same thing as the Shevach Shikma. Shevach Shikma is the wood grew a little bit, but not enough that you can really cut it for lumber yet. It takes 7 years till you can cut it for lumber. And that's why it doesn't say that answer. Other Rishonim answer that Higiyas Man sounds like we're talking about Peiros that are Nigmar Bishulam. Right? When it says that it's Higiyas Man for him to leave, so, right, Higiyas Man Lattes, what determined that it's Higiyas Man Lattes? Sounds like he was done. His job was done. What does it mean his job was done? The Peiros are already Nigmar Bishulam, because job is done means that the years are up. The amount of time that he was supposed to work there is up. Who says that it means Nigmar Bishulam? So the Rishonim explain. You know, normally when you work out the arrangement of how much time you're going to spend working in the field, you make the arrangement such that you set up the time to expire at around the time when you've finished your work, when you've done your job, when the peiros are finished, when the peiros are ripened. So probably it's talking about a case where the peiros are ripened because it's Higiyas Man. That's probably the way they set up the time. So that's why the Gemara did not prefer to say that we're just talking about a case where the peiros are not yet ripened, and that's why they don't take them. The Gemara says, no, it's not the Yom of the Shuka, and that's why they didn't take them. Tashma, another Raya. Hamakabel Sadu Mechaveru V'Higiyas Shvias. Person is mekabel a field from his friend, and it comes Shemitah year. So Shamanah, we have to evaluate something in order to pay him before he leaves. So who's leaving? Shvias mika mafka ara. Do you have to leave land when it's Shemitah, meaning the choker is fired every Shemitah? What does that mean? He's not going to come back to the land. Ela ema, no. What it means is hamekabel sadam mechaveru v'igia yovel. No, you agree to work on the field, and then yovel comes. Now by yovel, all lands go back to the original owner. So that's when Shaman Law, that's when we evaluate. So frankly, but wait, still, Vakati, Yovel mi mafka kablanus? Does Yovel undo kablanus arrangements? After all, Litzmiso samrachmana, what does Yovel affect? Yovel affects that no sale should be permanent. Meaning, any sale that had it not been for the dinim of Yovel would have been permanent. Yovel is going to come and say, are not permanent, rather the land goes back to the owner at Yovel. But if the agreement in the first place was not a permanent agreement, so Yovel doesn't affect it. Let's say 2 years before Yovel, I sell you a field to work for 10 years. I give it to you, it's a 10-year lease. So Yovel doesn't go back, because it wasn't supposed to be permanent anyway. Yovel only affects things that are supposed to be permanent. So why should Yovel affect Kablanos? Kablanus isn't a permanent arrangement. The fact that I'm working in the field and I'm sharecropping and I'm going to give you a percentage, that's not a permanent arrangement. So who's doing evaluations when Yovel comes? The field shouldn't go back anywhere when Yovel comes. Ela Ema, rather what it means to say is, halokeach sadam mechaveru v'igia Yovel. Not mekabel sadam mechaveru. You actually buy a field. You bought the field and then Yovel came, shamanah, we do an evaluation. So what kind of evaluation? So if you're going to say, oh, you know what we're evaluating the vegetables, the beets, silka v'yarka b'yovel hefkeruhu. Silka and yarka during the Yovel year are hefker, so there's nothing to evaluate. Anyone could come and take them. Alalav shavach shikma must be, what are we evaluating when the Yovel year comes after you bought a field? We're evaluating how much the shikma trees grew during your time on the field, and that's what you're getting paid for. So you see, at least, now this doesn't really teach us, it's not really a raya for a kablanus. When it comes to a regular situation of kablanus or chakirus, let's say chakirus, where you're working in someone's field and you're paying him a rental payment and then your time is up, and we had a machlokas, whether you take the shevach shikma, it's not really a great raya, because this case is not about a chakirus arrangement. We're bringing a raya from a case that's about yovel. It's about you bought a field from somebody, a full purchase. You bought a field from somebody, and then the yovel year came, so it seems that he gets to take the shevach shikma. So we'll see how this might be a raya. So tirgama abaya, libe de rava, shiny hasam. No, over there it's different. By yovel it's different. Damakrav yatsa memkar bayis. Memkar chozer, shevachinu chozer. We have a special gzeres hakasav that when it comes to yovel, what reverts in Yovel? What goes back in Yovel? The sale goes back. But any shevach that the field produced, does not go back during Yovel. It's the Gzeres HaKasuv. That the only thing that goes back is the sale, not that which the field produced and that which the field improved. That does not go back in Yovel. That's why Dafka, when it comes to Yovel, if I bought a field and the Yovel year comes and the sycamore trees did very well under my watch, we evaluate how well they did and I get compensated for how well they did. But that's got nothing to do with the chakirus. When my chakirus is up, I don't necessarily get compensated for the improvements in the shikma trees. So asks the Gemara, v'nigmar minei, why don't we learn from Yovel? If by Yovel we know that I'm going to get compensated for the improvement in the shikma trees, why don't we say by chakirus I also get compensated for the improvement in the shikma trees? Answers Gemara, no. Hasam zvini ma'al yehu v'yovel afka asa demalkehi. Because over there it was really a valid sale, it was a completely valid sale, and Yovel is just an afka asa demalkehi. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that, that it has to go back and that only the Memkar goes back and not the Shevach. But so you can't derive from that special Gzeres HaKasuv to any other situation in Halacha, to any normal situation of Chakirus. The Rambam writes, HaLokech Sde Achuza V'Nata Ilanos V'Shpicha. The Rambam writes, if you buy a Sde Achuza and you plant it with trees and it improves, that when it goes back at Yovel, we evaluate the trees that are in it, and we give that value to the lokeach, and he quotes the drasha shnemer memker bais memker chozer v'lo shevach, that only a mecher is chozer, shevach is not chozer. So Reb Chaim is medayik from the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? V'nata ilanos. What did you do? You bought a field and you planted trees, and you were mashbiach the field, which didn't sound like the case we were talking about. We thought we were talking about a case, I bought a field that had shikma trees, meaning similar to the chakirus. Now the chakirus, did I plant these shikma trees? No, I came into this field to work, and it had shikma trees. So the question was, can I take the lumber that the shikma trees grow? Right? So we said that you shouldn't take the lumber if you're there for less than 7 years. But you got the improvement those trees get is machlok zabai rava, whether you can get. So we were paralleling it with the Yovel case. So the Yovel case Mishlam was also, I bought a field that had shikma trees and they improved under my watch. Reb Chaim is medayik thought that the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says nata ilanos. So it must be that that this is. So he says it doesn't have to be that. The Rambam can't mean that you have to actually plant the trees. So no, what the Rambam means is that you had to do something for those trees. Sometimes you just leave a tree alone, most of the time, you just leave a tree alone and it's going to improve, it's going to get better as time goes, as long as it has enough water or whatever, that rains enough, it's going to continue to improve and grow. So the point is that it's not ilanos. I'm not saying that you dafka had to plant the trees from the beginning, but you had to do something to contribute to the growth of those trees. When do you get the shevach by the Yovel? Only if you did something to contribute to the growth. But if you didn't do anything to contribute to the growth, it just happened to grow. It was a shevach de memela. Just happens by itself. That goes back to the balasada. And the reason is that a shevach haba me'elav is considered part of the guf hakarka. And the guf hakarka goes back to the balasada. But a shevach that you were mashbiach, you did a maisa to be mashbiachit, so that's not the guf hakarka, and therefore remains in the rishus of the lekech and does not go back at Yovel. That's the ha'ara that Reb Chaim has in the diuk when you're medayik in the lashon of the Rambam. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Papa kabel ara las pasta. Rav Papa was makabel land to plant aspasta, to plant fodder in the land. Kadchu batali, and trees sprouted in that land. So kikamistali kamalu havili shivcha. So when he left, when his time was up, his chakirus was over, he said, I'd like to have the shevach of the land. I'd like to get paid back. Amalei Rav Shishar Brei Davidi Rav Papa elameata dikla va'alim hachanami debay mar shivchei. He says, wait a second. Let's say there was a dekel tree and it got stronger while you were there. So you would ask for the shevach of that too? I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. You can't just ask for any shevach that happens to take place in that field during the time that you were there. Tosus explains exactly why it's so obvious that dikla va'alim, that you don't get it. So Tosus in the top Tosus, elameata dikla va'alim hachanami debay mar shivcha ba'alimus hadekel. What, would you ask for the shevach of the strengthening of the dekel tree? Havadai afilu la'abaye leslei. Even according to Abaye, you don't have that meaning. Even according to Abaye, who says that you get the shevach shikma, would not say that you get the improvements in the Dekel tree. Why? Even Abayi Lassay, the Dafka B'Shevach Shikma Deleka Pri, it's Dafka by the improvements of a Shikma tree, because as we said before, a Shikma is Nilan Strak, it doesn't grow fruits. So there are no fruits. El Shevach de Gidul Anafim, Kam Rabayi, the Yeshlo. So all, the only improvement it has, the only Shevach it has, the only benefit you could ever get from it, is that the wood that it grows. And since you're not allowed to cut down the wood, it's the improvement in value based on the wood that grew on that tree. So that's where Abaye says, yeah, Mistama, when you went into that field, it was da'atayu nachas, that it was al-das, that you're going to be able to get the improvements in the wood on that tree. Avladaita da'alimus ha'deke lo nachas. But it was never understood as part of the original arrangement that you're going to go into the field and take the increase in value of the dekel tree. The dekel tree produces tamarim, it produces fruits. So enjoy the fruits. That's what you get. That's what's understood. Whatever the tree itself improves, that's karka. That belongs to the Bala Sadeh. So hachinami. So what he's trying to explain to him is, Marlo nachas adaita detali ala adaita das pasta. You came into this field in a chakiris arrangement to plant fodder. To plant whatever it is, stubble in the ground, fodder that animals can eat, and not for trees that happen to sprout in the land. So what does he answer back? So back in the Gemara now, third wide line, Amalei hasam lav adaita dahachi nachas, ana hacha adaita dahachi nachisna. He says, you're wrong. I came, I'll das this. And Tosus explains, Amalei hasam vadei lav adaita dahachi nachas, you were right about the fact that when you go into a field that has a dekel tree, certainly your intention is to only enjoy the peros of the dekel tree and not the benefits of the growth of the dekel tree itself. But of avalana nachisna l'mashi yatzmiach hakarka tainu aspasta veilut samchul b'mukoma. I came in here planning on benefiting from whatever the land grows. I thought it would be aspasta. I really thought it was going to be stubble. I didn't realize that the land was going to grow trees. But now that it did, b'makom aspasta, instead of the fodder that it was supposed to grow in that area, grew trees instead. Well, that's what I came al das. I came al das whatever the land is going to produce. Kiman ka'abaye damar b'shevach shikma yeshlo. So this seems to be going like the sheet of Abaye, that you get the shevach shikma, right? If you're going to say that you're entitled to the trees that grow, so that's l'chora, only according to Abaye that you get the shevach shikma. So the answer is Gemara, no, afilu teimik Rava, even if you assume like Rava, that you don't get the shevach shikma, hasam lesle pseida, over there there's no loss, hacha ik pseida, but over here there is a loss, meaning when it comes to the shevach shikma, if you don't get the shevach shikma, you're not losing anything. Shevach shikma is just something the tree happened to grow, a lot more wood. The fact that the tree grew more wood did not cost the choker anything. The wood did not grow in place of something else that he was anticipating, that he was expecting. Whereas over here, when he was planning on planting aspasta, so the tree grew in place of where aspasta was supposed to grow. So the fact that the tree grew there caused him a loss. And therefore, even Rava would be moda that he's allowed to take that tree, that he's allowed to enjoy the benefits of that tree. Amalek, my psadatichi, he could say, what loss did you have? Yadada aspasta, the place where he could plant the fodder. So says Gemara, well, then why doesn't the landowner tell him the following? Instead of taking the tree, shkol yadada aspasta vazil. Take the amount of fodder that could have grown in that area of the tree and get out of here. I don't want you taking the tree, meaning your whole pseida is the fact that there would have been aspasta, there would have been fodder growing in the area where the tree grew. So take the amount of fodder that would have grown in that area and get out of here. Don't take my tree. So Amalei, anak korkum arishka ravai. But he could say, well, who says I would have planted fodder there? Maybe I would have planted saffron seed, which is very expensive. So Amalei, galisa daitav to the mishkol to the staluke avad. Ah, really? That's what you would have done? Meaning you're telling me, therefore, that what you really wanted is to plant something that you just take out right away, that you could just plant, let it grow, and then remove it. So shkol korkum arishka vazil. Take the value of saffron seed and get out of here. Ein l'chel d'mei etzim b'lvad. Meaning shkol korkum arishka vazil, you would have planted saffron seed and gotten out of here. Ein l'chel d'mei etzim b'lvad. So therefore, all you get is the d'mei etzim. You don't get anything more than the d'mei etzim. If you look at Rashi, amalei mi d'kamer d'korkum arishka ravai, from the fact that you're saying you would have you would have planted and grown saffron seed, shoot davra nixa b'kol shana, which is something that's cut every year. V'lo mata anat haliha yisinoteba. You did not say that I would have planted trees there l'mishkal shivchayu to take the benefit, the improvement in that tree. Galisa adaitach to lo nachtos lahaara adaita l'mevad b'midid bar kayama. So obviously you did not come into this land to take to in order to produce something that's going to be permanent in the land, l'meshem le'shivchei, in order that we should evaluate that improvement and pay you for it. Umapik elamidid t'yakre v'tishkle v'tezel. Obviously your intention when you came here was to plant something that's going to grow, finish growing, you'll remove it, and you'll be on your way. Kimislachas shol korkumach rishkech, also korkum rishka dahenu tali, shekimu ba akoroso v'lech, ukshatav alakar enu ala etzim, v'zeh yitin l'chadamei etzim. So now you want to go and remove something, all you would have had is etzim alone, so come and take the etzim alone. We're not going to evaluate the full value of the tree and give that to you. Says Gemara Vayter, story time. Rabbi Barabai kabel arava hadule mushnisa. Rabbi Barabai was mekabel a land, and rocks came up in the land, and katchube zardesab, and grass grew on the rocks, some plants grew on the rocks, bushes grew on the rocks. Ki kamistalik amalu havili shavchai. So when he left, he said, "Oh, I would like some of the, I'd like the improvement in value of the land from those bushes." Amra papi mishum ta asisum imulai amrisum mili mulisla. He says, "Because you come from short people, you say short things. Meaning, because you come from people who have chesronos, so what you say has a major chisaron. Afilu Rav Papa lo amar el de isla pseida. Hacha mai pseida islach." Meaning, even Rav Papa only said that you can take the trees that happen to sprout in the land because there's pseida there, because you would have planted aspasta in the makum where the trees are. But over here, it grew on rocks. There was nothing that was going to grow there anyway. There was no pseida to you by having these bushes grow there, and therefore you're not entitled to anything. What kind of insult is that? Mishum da sisu mimulai. So what does Rashi say? Mimulai, Rashi says, mi base eli, shayim mi mishpacha ra'ua. That he came from the base eli, which was a family that had terrible luck. It wasn't just luck. In the Navi it says that the base eli was cursed, that they're not going to have anyone live to an old age from the base eli. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, tells us that, who was it? That Abaye and Rava were both from the base eli, and the Pasuk in Navi says the base eli is not going to be mechaper with all the kabanos they want to bring. It's still not going to help them live a long life. And the Gemara is medayik. Yeah, bring kabanos is not going to help them, but if they're osik b'torah b'gemilas chasadim, then that will help them. And the Gemara says Abaye and Rava. I think it's Abaye and Rava. One of them lived to the age of 40, and one of them lived till the age of 60. I could be wrong on which Amoraim was. One of them lived to the age of 40, one of them lived to the age of 60. And the Gemara says they were both from the Beis Eli, and really they were only supposed to live to the age of 20. One of them was Osek in Torah, so he got another 20. And the other was Osek both B'Torah, U'B'Gmilas Chasadim. So he got 20 plus 20, so he lived to the age of 60. But the point is that the Beis Eli has this terrible curse that they don't live very long. So that's what it means, short people, meaning people who have very short life expectancy. Because you come from this flawed family, the Beis Eli, therefore that which you say is flawed. So that's how he was making fun of him. That whatever statement he was making was considered to be a flawed statement. The Mesoras Hashas points out from the Aruch that Mulai is a Shem Makom, it's the name of a place. That it's not a reference to the Beis Eli, that it's the name of a place. And he said that's why they called the Bnei Eli Mulai, because they came from that place. But it's really the name of a place originally. Rav Yosef Havleyahu Shasla. Rav Yosef had a Shasla. What's a Shasla? So unlike an artist and a folker who goes into the field and just works on it and helps to make sure that it grows properly, a Shasla actually plants the vineyard. He plants it and then works at it. So, and he gets, obviously, a higher payment than an aris or a choker would normally get. He's no tea karen bekarka rashi, said bekarka balabayis. V'alav lios aris kalayamim, and he also works as the aris. Shach, this shasla died, v'shav v'chamisha chasin vasa, and he left five sons-in-law, who all wanted to split the job now. They all wanted to continue working in that field as the aris. Amar, the Balabai says, Adin Achad Hashta Chamisha. Up until now I had one guy working here, now I'm going to have five guys. Adin Allah Samcha Adadiv La Mafsiduli. Up until now, when there was one guy working there, he knows that he can't rely on anybody else doing the job, and therefore it's not going to be Mafsid Makarka because he knows that it's all up to him. Hashta Chamisha Samcha Adadiv Mafsiduli. I don't like the idea of having five people working in the same field. Because Reuven's going to say, Shimon will take care of it, Shimon will say, Levi will take care of it, everyone will rely on each other, and nothing's ever going to get done. So he said to them, look, if you want to take the Shevach that the land improved as a result of the work, you could do that and be on your way. And if you don't, then I'm going to throw you out of here without giving you the Shevach. I'm offering you a good compensation package, a good package to just get out of here. I just want you out of here. But if you don't take that package, I'm just going to fire you and you can get nothing. And he quotes, he says, because after all, don't you know what Rav Yehuda says? And some say Rav Huna and some say Rav Nachman say that Hai Shasla the Shachiv, that when the Shasla dies, Yarshim Gilei Mistalkim below Shivcha, that the landowner is allowed to throw out the Yarshim without any Shevach? And says the Gemara, Tilav Milsihi. But that's not really true. What's not really true? So Tosfos understands it's not really true that anyone ever said that. He starts quoting Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman. They said that I'm allowed to throw you out. No one ever said it. He's just trying to scare them. He's just trying to intimidate them, so he makes up a shita. If you look at where's the Tosfos on Amud Beis, the second Tosfos on Amud Beis, it's misplaced. Mishalkinelu who below Shivcha v'lav Milsi says Tosfos Pirush Rivan Shlo Amar Davar Zeh Mei Olam Elav Sido Amar Kain Lav Chido Amar Kain. They never said this. He's just trying to scare them. V'tema Dimlo Amar Mei Olam Lami Hisker Kol Kach Amaram Rafuna V'tem Raviuda V'tem Mechulei. If no one ever said it, why all the confusion about who said it? Just say, don't you know Rav Yehuda said? Right? Just say, Rav Yehuda, or maybe it was Rav Nachman, or maybe it was Rav Huna. What's all this? Why all these names? If no one ever really said it, he's just saying it to be mafkadad. So the Yeshomer Rav Yosef lo hiskir ela echad mehem ubnei beis hamedrash nistapku bein elu ezameh and hiskir. Now it could be that Rav Yosef really only mentioned one of them. It's just that when they repeated the story in the beis hamedrash, they didn't remember which name Rav Yosef used. But Rav Yosef made up a story. He made up a b'maisa that there was some major shita that held that they go out without any shevach, and it's not really true. They don't go out without any shevach. The Ramban, the Rashba, and the Rush all hold that which part was made up, which part is not correct, the part that they go without any shevach. But the fact that you can get rid of them, that when someone dies, when your shasl dies, that you can tell the son you don't want him working for you. That is true. That's the halacha, because this is not something that you can be yorish livno. A job is not something a person can be morish to a son. And that's all this is. It's a job. So you're certainly allowed to get rid of the kid if you wanted to. Also, this taina that he has, that up until now I had five people working here. Now I only have one. I mean, up until now I had one person working here. Now five. I don't like the idea of having five, because it's like Kader Debe Trelo Chamim of Lo Karira, the expression that Chazal has, that when you have a pot that's watched over by two people, so it's not going to be hot, it's not going to be cold, nothing's going to happen with it, because everyone's going to rely on the other person. So are we to be medayik from there, that if he left only one child over, that you cannot fire him? I mean, doesn't that imply against what the Ramban and the Rashba say? That if there were only one child that he left and not five to take over for him, that there was only one Yorish to take over for him, that you can't fire him? So the Rush says, no, that's not at all the diuk to make. It happens to be the case was like that. The Rush in Siman Lamed Zayin writes, Hadam l'Rav Yosef adi id nechad v'hashe chamesh l'faisen b'dvarim amarkein shol yisramu al mafshe silkan. He just didn't want to insult them. When you're firing somebody because the person is grossly incompetent, it's uncomfortable to tell the person you're grossly incompetent. Right? I don't think you could do the job. I think you're terrible. It's much more comfortable to say, it's not you, it's just that there are too many people here, it's that there are, you know, five people, everyone's going to rely on each other, it's not efficient. So it's just much easier to say something like that. That's why he said that. But it's not that if there were one, so then he would have had no choice. He would have had to say, look, you're grossly incompetent, I don't like you, get out. So he would have had said something like that. But in this case, he didn't have to, because there were five people, so he had a better excuse as to why to fire them from the job. Says Gemara another story. A guy says, a shasla takes over the field and he says, look, if this field suffers any losses, you can fire me. Afsid. And it's taka lost. So I'm Rav Yehuda Mistalik Lo Shivcha. They're Mistalikim without even paying him for the Shevach prior to that point. Rav Kana Mistalik Vishak Lo Shivcha. Rav Kana says, no, whatever Shevach there was in the land, he does get. Even though it was subsequently Mafsid, whatever Shevach it did produce, he does get. Rav Kana says, if he said explicitly, if this land is mafsid from here on in, you could be misalik me without giving me any shevach, then of course you could be misalik me without giving him any shevach. Rava Amar, Rava says, no you can't. Asmachti, v'asmachta lo kanya. Why do you think he said that if this land loses from here on, you could be misalik me without giving me any shevach? Not because he thought the land was going to lose. He obviously was very confident that it wasn't going to lose, that it wasn't going to suffer. So it was purely asmachta. He wasn't planning on that result. So when he made this deal that you could be misalikim without any shevach, it was assuming that it wouldn't come to that. Well, the Rava, Maishna mehadatnan, but wait a second, according to Rava, why is this any different than the Mishnah we had earlier? Imofer v'lo eved ha-shalim b'mitvah. That if a guy says in Kablanus that, look, if I end up not working this field, I'll pay you the best produce that the field could have produced had I worked it. I'll still pay you from a good value of what the field could have produced. And over there we assume he's serious. That if he doesn't if it doesn't produce, that's what he's taka chayiv to pay. Why don't you say that's an asmachta also? Answers Gemara, hasamayda afsid mishalim. No, because over there you're actually being mafsid, the owner of the field, that amount of money. So you're compensated. You're supposed to work in the field and actually produce certain amount of wheat and give him a certain percentage of that. When you don't work in the field and there's no wheat to give him, so it's logical that you should have to pay him the value of the wheat that it could have produced. So you're paying him what you're mafsid. So here also, you should give him whatever he was mafsid, we should deduct from his salary, but whatever shevach is left, after we deduct that, we should still give it to him. We shouldn't be mafsid him all the shevach, right? There's no reason to be mafsid him more than whatever it takes to compensate the landowner. So that's all he should lose. And that's why the halacha over here is that it's a smachta. If he says he's supposed to lose any more than that, that's purely a smachta. Runya shasla de Ravina. Have a Runya was Ravina's shasla, the one who planted Ravina's vineyards. Afsid. And the vineyard didn't do well. Salke, so Ravina fired him. Asal kame de Rava, so Runya goes to Rava. Amrle chazimar maika avidli. Says, do you believe this? He fired me. So Amrle shapir avid. Rava said, well, yeah, you're doing a terrible job. The vineyard didn't do well. So what do you expect? You're hired to do a job, but the vineyard didn't do well. You're going to get fired. Amrle halo hisrabi. He says, yeah, but he didn't give me any warning. I didn't get any warning in advance. Amrle lotzricha lahasros. Who says you have to give warning? There's no such halacha that you have to give warning. Rava l'taimei, and this is Rava l'shitaso, meaning so right away you think Rava holds that you don't, when you fire somebody, you don't have to give them any notice in advance for any job. So no, this is Rava l'shitaso. Rava holds that there are certain specific jobs where you can fire the guy without any warning. Dama Rava, Mikri Dardiki, a teacher of young children, Shasla, that's this job, right? The planter of the vineyard who then becomes the aris. Tavcha, the shochet, or the butcher, v'umna, the bloodletter, v'safarmasa, and the safarmasa, which we'll explain in a second, kulan k'musun v'alam din dami. All of them are considered forewarned, meaning since klala demilsa kolpsei did lohadar k'musun v'alam din dami. Any time that your job is going to cause a loss that cannot be retrieved, that's as if you're already forewarned. So it's Musun Va'umdin, and therefore you don't need any special Asra. What is the Safra Mas? So first of all, before we get to the Safra Mas, Mikri Dardiki. Rashi says, Mikri Dardiki is Pseidid Lohadar. Why is that a Pseidid Lohadar? If you have a bad teacher, why is that a loss that cannot be retrieved? So he says, Dishabeshta Kivinda Al. The Gemara of Basra has Machlokas. Shabeshta Kivinda Al means when you teach a child something that's mistaken, it's going to stick with him for the rest of his life. Teach a child, let's say the teacher starts saying davening with the children, and he davens with the children Kriya Shema, and he mispronounces every single word of Kriya Shema. The child for his entire life is going to mispronounce every single word of Kriya Shema. Even when he becomes more educated, and he knows how to read Trup and everything, he knows with the Mila Els from the Mila Raz, he's still going to mispronounce every word of Kriya Shema, because that's what stuck with him from when he was young. It's very hard to overcome that. It's very hard to undo what you taught at a very young age. So that's why it's Pseid Lahadar. That's actually a machlokas in the Gemara Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra in the second parak, again, foreshadowing for what we're about to come upon, the Gemara Bava Basra has a machlokas whether when you hire a teacher, so if you have two options, you have one teacher that covers a lot of ground, but it's not so precise to make sure everything is perfect, and another teacher that doesn't cover that much ground, but is very precise to make sure everything is understood perfectly, which one is better? So one shita says, you better get the guy that covers more ground, Because shabeshta memela nafak, whatever small mistakes are ingrained in the kid's head will fall away over time as he becomes more educated. And look, he'll learn so much. The other shita says, no, shabeshta kiven da ol. Whatever mistake you teach a kid at a young age, that's going to stick there forever. Problem is, we paskin the first way. So Rashi, when he says the reason why it's pseid lohadr shabeshta kiven da ol, seems to be against the way we paskin la'alecha. We seem to assume shabeshta memela nafak. Now, it could be that it depends on the mistake and it depends on the circumstances. And when it's just broadly, you know, a teacher, should I hire the one that covers more ground or not? So we'd say the value of covering more ground may outweigh the Shabeshta Kivin Da'al Al. But it's not to disqualify the Svara of Shabeshta Kivin Da'al Al. Tosus, however, on the top says, Pirish Bukunshus Bishum to Shabeshta Kivin Da'al Al, the Kachachashub Seid Lohadar, Velesa, Tosus says, the Rav Gufayus, the Perikul Yachbar, the Shabeshta Melanafka. It's not just that we pass, but Rav himself holds Shabeshta Melanafka in Mesechus Bab Basra. So says Tosus, what's Pshat? El Hachi Kari Lehacha Pseid Lohadar. It's a Pseid Lohadar over here, Lufisha Ba'osa Shashalimdo, Shibushim. Because during that moment of time where the teacher is teaching mistakes, the teacher could have been teaching Torah, could have been teaching something that's MS. So that time is Pseidat Lohadar. The time spent in the classroom, you have X amount of time with the teacher in the classroom, with the Rebbe in the classroom, that amount of that time is never going to be retrievable. That time is Shabeshta Kivinda Al Al. Okay, the Ran says it's Pseidat Lohadar when the teacher is a bad teacher because he hits the children too much. He could injure them permanently, assuming that he's hitting the children. Okay, but what's a Safar Masa? So we never translated that. So there are three Shitos, actually. Rashi, earlier in the Masechta, and Daf Tzadi Zayin said it's the barber of the town. That a bad haircut, you know, the embarrassment you're going to suffer from bad haircut for the couple of weeks till it gets better is something that you don't get back. It's irretrievable. The Rashi in Masechta Babasra says that it's a Sofer. Someone who writes Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sefer Torah. The Aruch says that it's someone who writes the Shtaros. So Sofer writes the Shtaros Shalir. So those are the three Shitos in Safar Masa. Vaitra. Who Shasla Damalu Havali Shafchai Debinu L'Mesek L'Arad Yisrael. So there was a Shasla that says, I want to make Aliyah, so please give me my Shevach, I'm out of here. The implication of here is that you can't just leave without an excuse. You can't just leave a job as a Shasla. You're the one that planted it. You're the one that could best care for that vineyard. So you're responsible to continue to care for it. It's a lifetime contract. Also, the commander of Papa Bar Shmuel, Amalu Havali Shivchas. They went to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Papa Bar Shmuel said, good, pay him. Amalei Rava, you Ashbach, Ara lo Ashbach. So Rava said, wait, did he make the Shevach and the land didn't contribute to the Shevach? Why should he get all the Shevach? My land contributed plenty to that Shevach. Amalei, I'm not palga the Shivcha Kaminilach. No, I don't mean give him the whole Shevach. Give him half of the Shevach. Amalei, I didn't have a shekel balabais palga v'shasla palga. He said, but up until now, the arrangement was that I'd get half of the profits and he would get half of the profits. Hashta by the mesa of Mansalarisa. Now that he's not going to be working in the land anymore, I need to hire an artist to work on the land who's now going to take a percentage of the profits. So I'm going to end up with less than I had before. Had he stayed in the field, I would have gotten half. He gets half. Now you're telling me I have to give him the Shevach plus hire an artist. I have to give him half of the Shevach plus hire an artist. So some of my Shevach is going to be lost also. I'm going to be left with less than 50%. So I'm going to lay river the Shevach coming. I didn't mean you should give him half. Give him a quarter of the Shevach. So you can give the artist another quarter and you'll get 50%. So Ravashi, the Meimah, river du danka. So Ravashi thought that that meant river, which is really 1/6 of the total of the field. In a place where the Shasla takes half and the artist takes a third, high Shasla dvayilis taluke. So when the Shasla wants to leave his job, you give him enough Shevach that it will not cause a loss to the Balabais. You give him Shevach in a way that it won't cause the Balabais' profit margin to decrease. So if we say that what you give the Shasla is 1/6, I understand very well, that works out great for the Balabais, because the Balabais will give the Riva, and let's say it was supposed to produce 6 vines, so the Balabais really was supposed to end up with 3. So he'll give 1/6 to this guy, he'll give a third to his new Aris, and which is 2, and then he'll be left with 3. He'll be left with exactly half. Eliam Riva Mamish Kamati Le Pseidel the Balabais Palgadanka. But wait a second, if you literally have to give him a quarter, so what's a quarter of 6? Is 1.5. And then you have to give a third to the new Aris, that's 2. That means you gave away 3.5. So you're left with only 2.5, and you're supposed to be left with 3. So you lost 1/12 of the field, a half out of 6. You lost 1/12 of the field. Armle Ravach Bred Rav Yosef Ravashi Velemele Ant Mansadilach Havle Larisa Vana Mansadili Maidabina Vinimbe. Why doesn't he say pay the aris first and then deal with me? So meaning pay the aris one third of what's left after you pay me, and then you won't lose. Right, meaning if you pay me my 1.5, and then you're going to be left with 4.5. So instead of paying the aris 2, pay 1/3 of the 4.5, not 1/3 of the 6th, and then you're going to be left with exactly what you're supposed to be left with 3. Amar ki matzah shchitz kachim sava akshali. He says, wow, what a charifas digavar. That was a very bright idea. When we learn kachim, I want you learning in my shir when we learn kachim, because when you learn kachim, you need such a sharp mind. For learning about mitzvah, okay, you know, it's nice, but if, when we learn kachim, there's such a charifas, is going to be great. That's what some rishonim understand. Other rishonim say, maybe you shouldn't be learning in the zikin with such ridiculous ideas. Maybe come back to me when we learn kachim and you have some ideas that are actually smart, because that idea is not actually smart. Don't like that idea so much. So whatever it was either a great compliment or a terrible criticism of him. Okay, I guess we'll stop there. Hashem will continue from Gufa tomorrow.